Let's pray. Father, help us as we teach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. All right? He says that first of all, that four types of prayers, requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Okay, that fills up our day. Okay. Now, if we intercede for everyone, most everyone we don't know. But he also says, he gets to everyone down to more specific, for kings and all those in authority. So we pray for the President of the United States. We pray for Saddam Hussein. We pray for everybody in authority. The governor, the mayor. And we pray this in intercession, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. If we're praying for these kings and God's answering these prayers, it's saying we're going to have a peaceful life. Quiet life. And godliness and holiness. Then it throws another thing in for intercession. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. If we're praying for everyone, one of the results is we'll live a quiet and peaceful life. We pray for the kings and for authority. But he tells us the other reason we pray for everyone is that he wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The basic reason Jesus Christ came to this earth was to save men. And he says, first of all, I want you to pray for everyone. He wants all men to be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. All right. If the number one thing is the salvation of all men, and the number two thing is their holiness, godliness, and we're praying for kings that we live peaceful and quiet lives, we are participating in the main function that Jesus Christ came to this earth for. Verse 5, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. His mediation was a mediation of action between God and men, and he died on the cross for all men. The same all men that he wants all to be saved, the same everyone that he wants us to pray for, all of this is part of the whole effectiveness of the preaching of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the main mediator, and he mediated by coming to this earth and dying. Paul was appointed a herald and apostle, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Jesus Christ died, the apostle Paul was sent, we were told to pray, all for the same group of people. Normally, we don't pray for everybody. We don't pray for very many people. Mostly, we pray for ourselves. I'm thinking of different times that we've interceded for people. And it's been wonderful, but I wondered why, that because it's so wonderful, I wonder why we don't do it more often. There is a verse in Scripture in, over in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So, the person who is sick calls for the elders of the church. The elders of the church are to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. There are a lot of sick people. Not many people call for the elders of the church to pray for them. But for years, in the Free Church, Evangelical Free Church, here in the area, when people are sick, they've called for the elders to pray for them. And we have prayed for them, as this instructs. Prayer of faith, or we pray for them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And people are healed. Not because we have a gift of healing, but because we intercede for the person. The prayer of faith will save the sick. There's one woman we knew, or her, you're at E-Free Church. Her daughter, I think, is E-Free Church now. Maybe it's his son. They've got several children. Anyhow, the mother was a student, and later, after she was married, she got MS and called us from Tacoma, and we would, if she came over, would the elders pray for her in the name of the Lord and anoint her with oil. And she did, came over, and we prayed for her, and she hasn't had a MS symptom since. You can ask Mr. Busby. He's kept a record. I think he has, because I just remember some of these things, and of the people that have been healed because we interceded for them. But you can also intercede for them for their spiritual sake. Intercede for them so that they may be saved. We're to pray for all men, and he wants all men everywhere to be saved. So we're not out of the will of God praying for somebody's salvation. I remember one time at a bookstore at the University of Michigan. And a fellow came in one evening. He was high on marijuana and wanted to talk religion. And I talked with him about the gospel, and then didn't see him for several months. And one day in the morning, I was praying for him. I said, God, I don't know where he is. I don't know how to get in touch with him. So would you please send him in? He came in at noon. I said, he said, I just thought I'd stop by. I said, I'm glad you did. I told the Lord to bring him in and tell you some more about the gospel. Then later on, I'd taken a new position at another bookstore, and I hadn't figured out how to get there because the streets weren't in a straight line. The street went like this, and I was going this way to this place, and now that's not the way. So I better go the other way. So I took this cross street, and as I took this cross street, there he was on a bicycle. Pulled over, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm joining this circus tomorrow. I said, oh, good. We're coming out to the college, and I'll take you out to the circus so you can join. We came out to the college and was converted and didn't join the circus. Now, these are where God answers prayer. It's interceding for people for their salvation and for their health and for their food. I have a lot of people that I don't pray for consistently, but I think I should, that are in all kinds of needs. When somebody is really sick, then many people start praying for this person. When we first came here in 1971, and we started a little home church. And people came to this little house church, and we heard there was a young man named Everett Paul who was in Africa with the Peace Corps, a Christian. And while he was in Africa, he got bone cancer in the leg, in his thigh. And a great big cancer. And they brought him home, and he was so sick, all I could do was lie over a chair, hang over on one side and hang over on the other side. Just for, we didn't know him, but people were praying for Everett Paul. That was in 1971. The cancer disappeared, and he's alive today. Okay, 32 years later. Now, I'm convinced that it was because many people prayed for him. Many people prayed. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 9, maybe 8. In 2 Corinthians, he's talking about giving. He's collecting money from the church at Corinth to take to the poor people in Jerusalem. Verse 12. This service that you perform of giving money is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I collect the money, take it to Jerusalem, and everybody's so glad to get it, everybody's thanking God. So you're not even meeting their needs. God's getting thanked by lots of people. Is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Okay, you give to them, they praise God, they thank God, they intercede for you. And when they pray for you, in intercession for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace. So when you intercede for somebody, I don't know what this means, your heart goes out to them. You love them so much, you really get into praying for them. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There's a book here, I think we have it, called The Intercessor. I read it almost 50 years ago, and I haven't read it since. But it's about a man in Wales and how he prayed for people and the answers to his prayers. Rhys Howells was his name. The word intercessor is the original function of a priest. A priest would pray to you, pray to God on your behalf. In the Catholic Church, you'd go to the priest, make your confession, he'd pray to God. But then, in the book of Hebrews, it says there's one mediator, well, it says it here, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for all. But it also tells us in Hebrews that we don't need a priesthood anymore because there's one high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. This sounds contradictory, but it says we don't need a priesthood because Jesus Christ is a high priest. But in 1 Peter, it tells us that we are all a holy priesthood. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Okay, this saying that, yes, there's one high priest, but now everybody has access to God on the behalf of everybody else. We are made a royal priesthood. Priest is somebody who intercedes. I've just written a letter of intercession to a judge here in town, as I was doing in this last hour. It's the same thing like praying to God, but here I'm praying to the judge. So, I was wondering, it tells us to pray, intercede for all men. Give thanks for all men, for kings and for all those in authority. But is there somebody special that needs help from God that we should intercede for, that we should pray for? I mentioned a couple places where you could see the results of intercession. Although we can't do it A for A, B for B. Many years ago, we know a famous Irish missionary in Japan. She's the one that took me up to introduce me to Bessie in Yokohama. And later on, years later, we found out that she prayed for our children every single day. She prayed for our children every single day. One time, I was at a bookseller's convention, and I saw a salesman for a publishing company. And I saw he was busy writing an order for some bookseller. But I recognized him, so I didn't have time to talk with him. I'd known him in Michigan. And later I'd seen him at a bookseller's convention. But anyhow, I just touched him on the shoulder to say hi. And he looked at me, turned around, looked at me. He said, Jim, I want you to know I pray for you every day. I'd seen him once the year before at a bookseller's convention, maybe 2 years before, I can't remember now. Okay, I know people pray for me. One of the things I do when I go on a trip, I pray that I'll sit next to somebody who wants to know about God. And so almost always it happens. But one trip I made, well, then I come back and meet with the staff, and they all want to know all the answers to prayer, what happened on the... And they gather around, and I said, tell us what happened. I said, well, I have nothing to say. I didn't sit with anybody. Nobody wanted to talk. Didn't sit with anybody going or coming. And they all laughed. I said, what are you laughing about? They said, we knew you were very tired when you went on this trip. So we prayed that nobody would talk with you. Now, sounds like backward praying, but these are just little tiny things. It doesn't talk about supplication or asking for things, but we've got far more record. It's easier to recognize things you pray for about you, and then they happen, than it is to pray about somebody across the world you don't know whether it happened or not. Intercession is praying for other people. Supplication is praying for your own needs. And it's easy to keep a record of those. Any questions?
So when you're praying for the others, you only pray for their salvation or health or other...
Any needs they have. Or even if you don't know. Even if you don't know.
Can you pray for that God forgave their sins? You know?
Yeah.
Anything you pray for yourself.
Anything. Sometimes God would just bring somebody to my mind. I remember I was on a round-the-world trip, and I was in Cairo. And I woke up in the middle of the night. It was probably because of jet lag. I wasn't, because I was going around the world. But I woke up in the middle of the night, and all I could think of was a young man in Monterey, California. I'm not young. I was in my early 50s. He was 12 years younger, so he was probably 40 years old at the time. So he wasn't young. I didn't know why I was thinking of him. I hadn't seen him in years. But I thought of him, so I prayed for him and wrote him a letter. And it's a long time ago, so I can't. It was 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. But either his wife had just died or was dying, I don't know. But I know God woke me up, had me pray for him, had me write him a letter. Now I have one person who's in Pakistan. Graduate WSU, he's with Christar, and in living in Rawalpindi. But the Mission Society would not allow him to go out to the mission field unless he had 100 people that would pray for him every day. Well, he's a good friend of mine, and I said, well, Andrew, I can't be one of those 100 because I'll forget. I don't want to promise and not do it. So I didn't sign up as doing one of that 100. Later on, my wife said, are you going to pray for Andrew, aren't you? So I said, yes, but here I want to keep my word. I'm going to pray for him every day. So I put his prayer request in the shower. Put it on the shower wall and pray for him in the shower. Now, I haven't done it every day because sometimes I've been some other part of the world and it's not there on the shower wall. But they think that the more people pray, the more he'll be protected, the more he has the power of the Holy Spirit, the more can be effective. God is so good and so gracious in answering our prayers. As I think about it, I wonder why I just don't pray all of the time. Because when I do pray, God answers. But then, well, we are to intercede for all men.